Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What do we want? What do we want from our owners? And in the grand scheme of things, aren't Bay Area owners delivering to their fan base way more for the most part than owners in other markets? And I don't know, Dibs, I feel like we're nitpicking a little bit, believe it or not. And that's coming from the great nitpicker himself.
Yeah,
Matt
Captain
Steinmetz.
Nitpick, actually. Mm-hmm. That's normally your Halloween costume. You go as Captain Nitpick. Looks a little bit of a cross between Captain Steubing and Captain Morgan.
Merle Steubing,
but yeah, as we come out, Captain Moore. But I think it is nitpicking because ultimately, what do fans want? I want winners. And the Warriors delivered 3-5 straight finals appearances. The Niners have gotten you 2 Super Bowls in recent vintage. You haven't won either, but you're at least sniffing around it. Giants, even your magic. And if you go back, you know, a generation of owners, and you go back to when Jed's father had the team, when John York was the principal owner, and you struggled. Before that, of course, Eddie D, fantastic run. Warriors, you mentioned it in the green room, Steiny, the Chris Cohan era juxtaposed with what the Warriors have now. And the Giants has kind of been an evolution of an ownership group since the McGowan-led peeps bought them and kept them here in the 90s. So it's interesting when you look at expectations for ownerships.
Well said, Dibs. Well said. And I'm just saying this. There was a reason Jed York was silenced. He kept putting his foot in his mouth, and now all of a sudden he's back. Guess who's back? It's Jed York. And I gave him a pass. I did for draft night or whatnot. But he, you know, put his head out that hole to let everybody know I'm back. And where I'm going is I'm going LeVar Ball. Stay in your lane. There are a section of 49er fans that are probably hoping that Trey Lance can beat out Jimmy Garoppolo and be the starter week one, even if that is a big reach. But at the end of the day, he kind of just splashed the, you know, put water on the fire of excitement about what Trey Lance and when Trey Lance can turn into something. Let Kyle Shanahan say that. We're a week removed from, if it turns into a competition, it's a competition. So to hear the owner all of a sudden saying, oh, it might be 2 years before you see the prize rookie, to me, Steiny and Dibs, that sours the party and takes away from the pick. He has the right to talk, but let the coach go down that avenue. Stay in your lane. And it was odd to me. And kind of, you know, turning the volume down of a party with the music blasting.
Well, stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane. But he owns the freeway. So it's his roadway. So he can go in whatever lane he wants to go. Fortunately, he's been in the slow lane for the last handful of years. And things have gone well and it's worked. And, you know, right now he's making... maybe he veered over a couple lanes for a few days. What's wrong with that? He didn't do anything damaging. Ultimately, he's not the one who's making the call on when Trey Lance plays. I can guarantee you that. He's not going to knock on Kyle's door and say, Kyle, it's Jed. You're playing him this week, okay? That's not how that relationship is going. So he's just, I think, letting people know that, you know, nice and easy on the Trey Lance era. We still have Jimmy G.
Right.
It could be 2 years. And we all know, let's put the rat on the stinking table early. If Jimmy struggles, they're going to Lance. And if Jimmy plays great and he's healthy, they're not going to Lance. It's that simple. I want winners.
So this was a throwaway line to you, Dibs. He was just talking.
Yeah, he's just saying, hey, it could be. You know, like when Shanahan says, I don't know who's going to be alive on Sunday.
Right.
This to me is has the same amount of, like, real import, Stiney.
Well, yeah, and here's the other thing. I mean, honestly, and I'm not – do you think that Jed York should not do that kind of interview, a long-form interview in a podcast? Or, you know, how often should he talk to the media? Should he be reclusive, almost like a Chris Cohan who never talked to the media? Should he do it once or twice a year? Should he do it when he feels like it? I mean, what do you want? How often do you want your owner to talk about his team?
I mean, obviously, Stiney,
it's a profound question.
Yeah, we want transparency, but at the end of the day, I got it. He went Jerry Jones. Talk all you want. Why would you put that timetable and time frame and possible limitations on your prize rookie and tell the fan base, you told us you had nothing to do with the pick. Okay, now all of a sudden you got a window, a 24-month calendar on when people can expect Trey Lance. And if I rushed out there to get a number 5 jersey, if that's the number he's wearing, guys, and I'm thinking again, I'm holding on, you're telling me it's a chance, he could be the starter. I just got, you know, my parade just got, you know what, on.
He's protecting Trey Lance.
It got confetti rained on it because if he doesn't play, it's a ticker tape parade because you probably won the Super Bowl or you did very well. Your quarterback did great and you did great. Goo, there's no scenario where the Niners come out and stink and struggle that they don't go to Trey Lance ahead of the 2-year window. If they come out next year, and I cannot wait until the schedule comes out. I think that's in like a week.
12th, mate. The 12th.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Week from yesterday. So next Wednesday, mark it down, Stiney. There's some content.
I call that a whole week.
Yeah, man. I wish it was sooner, Ike, but we can wait. So when that comes out, if the Niners start out 2-4, then you're not going to have to wait 2 years. So all the owner is saying is, we got this guy, we love this guy, but we already have another quarterback who's probably going to start the season. That's all he's telling you.
Yeah. And as it relates to Lacob and these roster spots, you know, the first things first, who's got the highest payroll in the NBA?
In our league?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. All right? In fact, they have the highest payroll in NBA history. All right, so that's just got to be put out there. The second thing I think that's been missed on these two roster spots is they're going to have to fill one. They have to fill a roster spot within 2 weeks of when Gary Payton II didn't get his second 10-day contract picked up. So the Warriors are going to sign another player before the end of the season. One reason is they have to. Now, did they save a few dollars by not doing it yet? Yes. But maybe they didn't anticipate Oubre and Pascal and then COVID protocol for Lee and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm asking fans, what do you want out of an owner? What do you want them to do? I mean, do you think Mark Cuban is a great owner? Well, he's pretty accessible. He's pretty transparent. Do you want a guy like you know, Robert Kraft in New England? What about like the Giants ownership group, who clearly puts a lot of emphasis on the fan itself? And I know it's easy to say, I just want a guy who will shut up and sign the paychecks. Well, you know what? Would you shut up and sign the paychecks if you really owned an NBA team or
an NFL
team?
Well, that's largely what the Giants ownership does. I mean, Charles Johnson, the only reason why you heard about Charles Johnson is because of his quote-unquote off-field donations and maybe his political leanings. So I think that's a piece of it as well, Stiney. Do you care about the political leanings of your owner? Do you want them to reflect the overall community values? Do you want to hear from them a lot? There's a lot of nuance to this, and I know you of course, love nuance, but
yeah, and
it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Jerry Jones. He's got to stay to the Cowboys after every game, right, Guru?
Weekly radio show.
Some
and the
people
whole thing.
Don't so, like it, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you want out of your owners, Bay Area fans? And who's doing it for you? What owner do you like? And what owners are driving you crazy right now? You can go Bay Area or national. All right. It's time to celebrate mom, everybody. And Safeway is here to help with the great deals on flowers, baked goods, brunch, and dinner options, plus an assortment of wines. Treat mom to flowers with a dozen roses, just $9.99, and chocolate-dipped strawberries. A four-count for $6.99. And that's sponsored by Safeway.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy 90th birthday to Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. 90 today.
Man.
Boy, when you think of the greatest sports living icons, he's got to be still on Mount Rushmore. I can think of him and Bill Russell at this point. But one of the most iconic athletes in our lifetime, for sure. And we kind of missed him for the most part. I caught the tail end of his career as a kid. But you talk to anybody, and they say he's either the greatest player of all time or one of the greatest players of all time. Willie Mays, happy birthday. Say hey, kid.
It's just a remarkable life to be 90 years old. And I was just looking at some of the numbers. And it made me always think of John Shea and the great book John Shea wrote on Willie Mays and just the aficionado that he is. And apparently the Sporting Green today, Steiny, is a keepsake. So if you want to get out and get a newspaper for you whippersnappers out there, this would be one to get and keep, a large section devoted to the Say Hey Kid. But he missed 2 years because of the war, the Korean War. He gets rookie year and then misses 2 years and then goes on to have an unbelievable career. You think about the numbers he might have wound up with. He would have made Hank Aaron chase him down instead of Babe Ruth.
I always think of Muhammad Ali, you know, going to jail and in the prime of his career, and I never really gave the great one, number 24, his just due for those 2 years on what that would have did and what he could have did in those 2 years. I'll say this. Is there any more iconic play than his catch in sports history? The only thing that comes close to me is Lynn Swann's catch. I was a young kid against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. But other than that, guys, I know there's a lot that are worthy. That what do we call it, basket catch, Donnie?
Yeah.
To me, that's the leader of the clubhouse, you know?
Let me take you deep inside radio, Goo, because I started – at this station back when it was Sports Radio 957. We hadn't yet become 95.7 The Game. There was about a 3-month period in there, and during which time our program director, legendary Jason Barrett,
I love him. Yeah.
He was soliciting possible names for the station, and one of my suggestions was 95.7 The Catch because of Dwight Clark and also because of Willie Mays. Man. So I also had 95.7 The Play was another one for, you know, Cal Stanford. The band is on the field. And, you know, both were routinely shut down. But just when you were talking about the catch, I thought Dwight Clark, and then it's like Willie Mays, and I thought it would have been a nice.
I forgot the catch. Yeah, that's there. That's in that group. Yeah.
Catchy. It would have been a catchy name, but.
Yeah, I think it might have worked. Let's take a listen to it, by
okay,
the way. Dude. We have it on hand. Let's take a listen.
There's a long drive.
Wow, yeah. I love baseball. I really
made
do.
The catch and then turned and fired. Certainly one of the iconic images. So happy birthday to Willie Mays, 90 years old.
90.
Bay Area.
That's beautiful.
Bay Area.
He'll be at the park tomorrow night as they take on the Padres. He'll be in the house.
Nice.
Absolutely. I mean, I won't even ask you if you'll take 90 because I always ask you guys when we get an age-related story, you're definitely taking 90, especially if you're taking Willie's 90 because he's looking good. He moves well.
Team.
You know,
yeah, in the park.
He could probably still go first to third, quite frankly.
We're talking about owners and ownership groups, and what do you want out of an owner? Because, you know, yesterday we were talking about Joe Lacob, and you know, here's a guy who's got the highest payroll in the NBA, and clearly they've got a couple roster spots open that they're figuring out, you know, what they're going to do with them, and they're taking some heat because the team looks a little fatigued. And I'm thinking, huh, you know, they're going to fill that spot. Should they have tried to fill it a little while ago? Maybe, but maybe the right guy's not there. Anyway, I'm thinking, man, we're really, really nitpicking Joe Lacob for a guy who won 3 titles in 5 years. And then Jed York is always a very interesting one. You know, obviously he had the fallout with Jim Harbaugh, and then he was front and center during the Chip Kelly and Tom Sula days, and that's when a fan base absolutely turned on Jed York. He hires Shanahan and Lynch. He drops into the background. A lot of people say he's learned his lesson. He's maturing. You know, and then he had a fun draft day where he was tweeting a lot of stuff, and now he's done an interview in which he was asked about Trey Lance, and people are, you know, I think they're saying, oh, look, Jed's getting frisky now, just at the wrong time. But so I'm, you know, then I look across the bay to the A's. I don't think any of the three of us could pick John Fisher out of a lineup, the owner of the A's.
Wow, man.
He doesn't talk. We don't really know who he is. I mean, that's obviously not what you want, right, guys?
Well, if he would spend money, I wouldn't care, quite
well,
frankly.
That's true. Okay.
And he has money. And, wow. You know, I was just looking at their payroll by year in rank, and there's one 25th. That was 2019. The following year, they were 26th in payroll. This year, they're projected to be 24th. Nice little uptick. Sir Spend-A-Lot. It's a shame. And then you see Marcus Simeon come in, and you give him a great warm tribute that he so deserves. And it just reminds you of the long litany of your stars who've gone on elsewhere, because it's clear you're not going to pay him the big money and you're not going to be a spending team. And, you know, I hope you get your stadium solved. It'd be fun downtown to have a real baseball stadium, but that thing is, I mean, even to say a snail's pace would disrespect the snail.
Well, how many false celebrations on that topic, Dibs, have we had in the paper, in social media, by Mr. Cavill saying, oh, today's the day, we got it. Oh, no, we don't. Okay. I mean, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts. And I'm going to say this, Steiny, because you brought this up in the green room about Lacob. I didn't overreact because I was trying to check myself. I love everything about Joe Lacob, from the fact that he had to endure the boos, but the fact that he sits courtside, the fact that he takes chances, and the fact that he looked at that Warrior team when they lost to LeBron and said, you know what, when a lot of other owners would say, you know what, we're good enough, we can compete, he went and got Kevin Durant. So that's what I want from my owner. And I look at the Rooneys in Pittsburgh and what they've done with Mike Tomlin and before that, the great Chuck Knoll. I want an owner that wants to win. And what I see, and I'm not hating, a lot of these owners already have other money. So they got other business ventures to where it's almost like a hobby owning the team and that their heart ain't all the way in it. So when I see a guy like Jerry Jones, yeah, he meddles, but you know where he's coming from and he wants to win. That's what I want from it. My owner is, do you want, is this life or death? And
right.
That's what I think Joe Lacob is. It gives to the Warriors a privately funded stadium. Come on, man. Not one tax dollar.
But he
go
did
ahead
what
with your
Jerry
self.
Jones can't do, Goo. And that is get the blank out of the way. He got Jerry West. I mean, you can talk about his ego all you want. He's smart enough to know what he doesn't know, and that's where Jerry Jones continues to mess it up, because he thinks that he's a football mind and he's a great football genius, and he's just not. And you saw that from Al Davis, rest in peace, toward the end of his tenure, where he lost touch with the true gift that he had early on as a maverick in the National Football League. And that's where, bringing it back to Jed York, Steiny, I don't mind him, you know, maybe getting a little loose and doing a little bit of media. It's May, and he knows that he's not the one making these calls, and he knows he's not involved other than he and his family own it, And he's looking forward to getting fans back, working with Al Guido, friend of the program, and Parag Marate. He's got his inner circle, and Kyle and John run the team. He runs the franchise. They run the team.
Right. And let's not forget, so Joe Lacob bought the team in 2010, and it didn't get off to a great start. There were a couple years there at the beginning when I think a lot of people thought, Joe Lacob might have been too front and center early, might have talked a little bit too much. And that was part of the reason why he ended up getting booed the night of the Mullen retirement ceremony.
Would you say that was his nadir? I know you love that word. Yeah. Nadir, yeah, Goo.
I think it had to be.
Low point, right, is basically what nadir is.
Yes.
This is crazy.
But the point is that, he kind of went back to work, and he won three titles in 5 years. And even after he won three titles in 5 years, it wasn't like he's not out there every day. He's pretty accessible. He'll do an interview here and there. He doesn't do too many. He doesn't do too few. So it just got me to thinking, like, what do you really, who's the owner that you would want most of all, and whether it's in the Bay Area or not, but I think we got some pretty good ownership groups in the Bay, relatively speaking, to some other teams.
For the most part, and I'm struck by the Sharks ownership, whoever they are, it's a consortium of out-of-towners.
I was just going to ask you, too.
It's a group, it's a non-visible, almost disinterested, distant group. And the franchise is suffering as a result. You can see a direct correlation between good owners and good teams. Say what you will about Robert Kraft and his personal dalliances and his hobbies. He pretty much lets Bill run the show. Bill, go ahead and take care of it. I'm going to run around and hang out with Putin and get massages. I'll go ahead and own it and you run it. And that is the kind of owner I want, Steiny. Whether or not you talk, because he has a show, or he used to have a show where he would appear. That doesn't matter to me. It's just stay out of the way for the most part.
This is the biggest compliment, Steiny, I could give Joe Lacob, and I mean this. If he were, and there was, this has been floated over the years, but could you imagine when you talk about it starts from the top, if he were to be the owner of the Oakland A's? I mean, what that would do to A's fans going to bed, getting out to shower, driving to and from work, thinking like, you know what, Dibs? It's a little dire right now, man, but we got a guy that wants to win and not be a cheapskate. And to me, that's everything. And I got to go back to Al Davis, because you said we know all the good Al did and how it ended. And Jerry Jones with the three Super Bowls in a short time, guys. Where I'm going is, Steiny, is it fair to criticize a guy like Jerry where it's slow now, but it was good then? Do you forget about the good to where you say he's bad now, or is it in the middle? Because there was some good early. Yeah. Like, that's still part of the story, and he was still the same guy. Al Davis, it waned at the end, Dibs, but Al did some great things and held up some trophies. So the balance of good or bad, like, where do you guys come out on that? Like, how do you weigh it?
Well, it's just all part of the story. And, sadly for Jerry, the epitaph on his career will be he never evolved. He tried to, be overly involved, and he had his son running it. It's one of the most successful businesses in sports franchise history. So you tip the cap to that, and the building is beautiful and all that. But as far as him as the GM, the de facto GM, it's been a disaster. And, for Al Davis, his legacy is not – it's not colored by that, but you saw toward the end of his run where they struggled, and the Raiders haven't really been able to recover since.
The way I look at it is owners are just like players. Some have great years, great stretches. You look at a guy like Steph Curry, he's playing great basketball at 33. That's going to be part of his legacy. The bottom line is Jerry Jones hasn't done anything in 25 years or 20 years, whatever it is.
And think about that in terms of Joe Lacob. And if it wasn't for, and Peter Guber too, we just shorthand it with Lacob. But think about if they didn't have Travis Schlenk and Bob Myers and Jerry West and Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson all together at the same time. What happens in 10 years if Joe's still the owner and he wants to spend, but you don't have another Steph Curry, and maybe your head coach isn't as good as Kerr, and your GM isn't as astute as Bob Myers, then what? And what does that do to his ability to be a quote-unquote good owner, you know, Steiny?
Yeah. What kind of owner do you think Guru would be?
Guru, I got a name, if you don't mind. I was just about to say it, and I can't forget. Eddie D. Eddie D was about family. Eddie D, to me, from afar, was about winning and would go to any extent to make it happen. And that thing was moving. I know there was no salary cap and different things, but Eddie D, to me, is a Hall of Famer. And I hate how they got him out of there and all that went down. But, you know, I don't want to say mob. Yeah. It was everybody knew their role, Dibs, in a good way, if you get where I'm going. And they were successful.
I had you as a Mark Cuban, honestly. And think about Mark Cuban, and he got a title in Dallas. And
Shark Tank, yeah.
Exactly. He is an entrepreneur, but the passion with which he watches his product, especially in the early days, I could see you being among the top five in the league in technical fouls from the second row.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think the guy that I would hire, Steiny, hey, look, I'm overzealous. I'm a metal. But, like the Jerry Jones thing, who I hire knows my personality and where I'm coming from. I mean well. And that's why I don't think there'll be friction. But the media can say, Jerry's talking after the game or Daryl's talking after the game. Steiny looks bad. But I think when you know what it is inside the headquarters, it's not as bad as the media makes it out to be.
415, Guru is all over coaches and refs at youth baseball and basketball. I can't see him as a sign the checks and shut up guy. I
don't want to be that. That's not who I am.
That's what I'm saying. And I can see the release from the NBA right now. Mavericks owner Daryl Johnson has been fined $100,000 for berating poor Joey Crawford in the third quarter.
Can I ask you real quick, where does that money go? Where does the fine money go? What kitty does that go into? Okay.
Goes into charity.
No, it goes into the middle of the board, and if you land on free parking, then you get it all.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Jed York, we're talking about owners talking, and Jed York went on a podcast with NBC Sports Bay Area. Let's take a listen to his first cut about drafting Trey Lance and what about if Jimmy Garoppolo succeeds? Take a listen.
We've talked about this internally. You know, if we are in a situation where Jimmy goes out and takes us to the Super Bowl again and has an MVP caliber season and does it again, like there are worse dilemmas to be in. And Jimmy certainly has the ability to do that. I think Kyle's talked about that all along and knowing it's the most important position in sports. And it's great to have a guy that you do believe in, that has gotten you to a Super Bowl, so you don't have to put the weight of the world on a rookie, whoever it was that we were going to choose. Now that we know that Trey is here, you don't have to put the weight of the world on that kid's shoulders, and he can grow into that position.
Yeah. Let's follow it up with the one that apparently has got people scratching their heads about Trey's learning curve. Take a listen.
You know, this Sunday, he turns 21. If he doesn't play until he's 23, you know, but he's got a 15-plus year career. I mean, you know, there were rumors about a guy, and obviously Kyle talked about trading for Aaron. How long did Aaron sit? 2-3 years before he played? And again, I want to make sure that we do everything that we can to make sure that position is the best it can possibly be in the NFL. And even if he doesn't play for 2 years, we still have an extra $100 million to put back into our team on top of whatever we would have over free agency for the next 5 years.
It's harmless. That's harmless. People are contriving this anger. That's harmless. Come on, Goo.
It's odd. I'm not saying anything he said was wrong. It's his prerogative, but Dibs, the big takeaway for me is the sweet nothings he was giving Garoppolo. He sounded like an owner of a team that didn't need a quarterback. That's got me scratching my head.
No, he actually said specifically that they're always looking to upgrade the quarterback position, and so he sees it as we've got two legitimate starting quarterbacks in the NFL, so You start with Jimmy, and if he struggles or gets injured, which two of the last 3 years he has been injured, you've got this prized rookie at the ready. And when the rookie is ready, he will play.
But
and
if
that's
Jimmy
a,
does
that's
well,
quite a luxury.
It's the other side of a coin. It sounds like if Jimmy does well, we're talking about multiple seasons.
Okay, so Jimmy does well, and you go 12-5, and he throws for 4,300 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions, and he's a Pro Bowler, and he takes you to the NFC Championship game. That's a good thing. And Trey Lance, he's 20 years old. It's not like we're talking about a 25-year-old or a 28-year-old Chris Wanky. This guy is still a kid. He can't even legally pop bottles and celebrate being the number 3 overall. So we could be a little bit patient as opposed to giving the keys to the kingdom to a kid who hasn't played in, by the way, it'll be a long time between starts. He'll be 21, just going to throw him in there? For
who?
For what?
What's the wow, Goo?
The wow is the hoopla and the success we've seen rookies have in this NFL. They show they could hit the ground running. You know,
a couple. A small percentage.
And I thought this was all about Jimmy just being the quarterback in the meantime, and then it was the dynamic Trey Lance or the opportunity for the dynamic Trey Lance to show us he can do it on the NFL level. Now it just sounds like we may not get the answer to that question if Jimmy balls out. And are we talking new contract and new resources for Jimmy? That's what it would take for him to play after this season. So I never had a thought that that was a possibility. I thought it was bye-bye, baby, giant, tomorrow, bye-bye, baby, after this season, and we see the Trey Lance era next year under Kyle Shanahan.
It's a simple best-case, worst-case scenario. What's the best-case scenario? Trey Lance is starting week one or two, and the 49ers have a phenom on their hands. Okay, that's best case.
That's what I want.
What's worst case? Worst case is that Garoppolo – well, the worst case is Garoppolo gets hurt and Trey Lance stinks. But forget about that for a minute. Let's say that Garoppolo is very good. They go 12-5, do exactly what Dibbs says. Now it's year two, and it's like, boy, it's pretty close. But, you know, let's give Trey a little more time. Why? Because we can. We can't – I mean, it's just – it's within the realm of possibility that maybe Trey Lance won't be a starter sooner rather than later. Well, and I don't think it's a red flag. I don't think Jed York's saying anything that's out of line. I just think he's almost, you know, he's putting the best spin on stuff. And the best spin is give me Jimmy Garoppolo next year leading us to a Super Bowl. Good. Because that's the kind of pressure then we'll want to make our next decision.
And that decision doesn't have to be made until you get to the point where that decision has to be made. And that means something happens to Jimmy Garoppolo. Either he plays poorly or he gets hurt or both. And at that point, if Trey Lance is ready to go, he gets to be the backup and he goes in. If he's not ready, I mean, it might happen on the opening snap, knock on wood, of the season, of preseason. You just never know in that game. It's a dangerous game. So depending on when that happens, then the decision has to be made. So I don't worry about him saying things like 2 years might be the timeline.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Coming up on the other side, we've got last night in our league. And do the Warriors, do they have a new team they got to worry about come play in game time? We'll tell you about it on the other side, and that's all brought to you by Jose Cuervo.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And by the way, Angels just released Albert Pujols last year of his 10-year deal. Albert Pujols.
Wow.
So if anybody needs a speed demon, base stealer, there's one available now. I'm kidding. This is not my
Hall of Fame awaits.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We're talking about ownership, but we're going to take a little break now and go to one of our fun segments. last night in our league. Dibs, take it away.
Oh, Steiny, what a wild night as we go around the National Basketball Association, because we're in the spot now where just a handful of games remain, down to the final five for some, the final six for others, and of course the Warriors and OKC get it popping tonight as the Warriors, man, six straight to end the season, all games coming at the Chase Center. Well, the headline, the first game, the Trailblazers combust the Cavaliers.
2 seconds left. Lillard. Got it.
Bally Sports Ohio with a little Brian Palo Alto.
Yes.
Thrown in for good measure. Dame with 32. Portland sitting now seventh, Goo, half game behind the Lakers and Mavericks.
Yeah, and they're explosive, and if they get it together, I don't want them playing the Warriors, Steiny, and right now they're seventh and the Warriors are ninth, so just avoid the Blazers for that play-in game or series.
Dibs, I'm gonna ask to hear that one more time because it was just perfect. Spadone, hit it again.
2 seconds left. Lillard. Got it.
That was it. That's IBM. Perfect.
That's the sound you make when you lose by 36. Game number two, gentlemen. The Suns hammered by the Hawks.
Now an open look and a push shot for Trey. Kept alive and tipped in by Capella.
135-103. That's from Bally Sports Southeast. Devin Booker with 30 in the loss, but they fall a game behind Utah, Goo.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I'm not concerned about Phoenix, but what I'll say about the East Coast, Steiny, the Eastern Conference, I can't wait to see them get busy. There's so many, the Knicks, the Hawks. I can't wait to see how the fallout.
Yeah, Hawks, if you look at their injuries, they have been devastated by injuries this year, but they keep winning, and they are going to the postseason this year, ladies and gentlemen, the Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta outscored Phoenix 38-15 in the fourth. Hawks, by the way, your Hawks, Steiny, have won three in a row. Headline for game number three, the Kings prick the Pacers.
This is what he'll do. If he gets going, that's what Buddy Hill will do. He's a three-point shooter, ladies and gentlemen, and he's an unconscious three-point shooter. Make a miss.
73% of his attempts are from three, and boy, has he been shooting it well from three.
Bally Sports, Indiana, the call, 104-93. DeLon Wright with 23. Goo, don't look now, but the Kings have won four in a row, and they are still in it.
I'm kind of excited to see if they can catch San Antonio, Steiny. I can't believe it. I'm rooting for him, but we'll see how it plays out. No Harrison Barnes, no D. Do I dare say, are they better without D. Fox? I won't say that, but I think about it. I can't wait to see if they can sneak in.
They can't. They can't. They're still got a long way to go, but
Dr. Killjoy, please report to surgery.
Here's the other Killjoy. Former Golden State Warriors assistant coach Nate Bjorkgren. He may get canned after just 1 year in Indiana. Remember when people, Indiana, they're good. Indiana, they're no good. Indiana,
well, they're
no
going
good.
To the playoffs, though, Steiny. And I'm with you, but they're going. Yes. They're the ninth seed right now.
In the Eastern Conference, and they're going to the play-in, not the play-off. Right. Yeah, game number four, gentlemen. Grizzlies grapple the T-Wolves.
Rubio gets it into Edwards. Ant steps back for three. And Anthony Edwards, are you kidding? His eighth three of the game.
Mercedes-Benz, Dave Benz, Bally Sports, North. Ants can't swim, but he can play with 42 points on 17 of 22 from the floor. And where is Ja? He had 37 and 10. What a matchup, Goo, of two of the young stars in our
league. Where is Ja?
Yeah, he was balling. Ja's balling. And Memphis, they're rugged, Steiny, and I take back everything I said about him, and I don't want the Warriors to have to tangle with them. But also, Minnesota has become much-watched TV for me. Anthony Edwards, I think he's Rookie of the Year. 42, hadn't got hurt. I think he's in the lead. I know Ball's back.
Yeah, and with that win, Dibs, Memphis goes a full game up on the Warriors, and they have one
half
more
game,
meeting.
I believe,
yeah. Oh, is it a half game?
Yeah.
So they're meeting at the end of the year. I think they have the finale, right? It's the last game of the year. That could be the difference between 8 or 9, that's going to be a big game.
It's a flight game. It could be who stays and who goes. Game number five, guys, as we have six on the docket today. Nuggets knock the Knicks.
Eight to shoot. Campazzo's on the run. Dump it. And Green hammers it home.
Chris Marlowe, Altitude Sports, 113.97. The Joker, 32-12. Denver tied with your Clips, Goo, for third.
Yeah, the MVP discussion and contest is over. And the Knicks were bound to lose, but Denver, feel-good story, injury after injury, Steiny, but to be tied for second, and Jokic is going to get his first MVP.
I mean, if Jokic missed the final six or seven games of the year, he's still winning MVP at this point.
Nuggets held New York to just 12 first-quarter points, hashtag Thibodeau. The final game, the Jazz jack up the sorry Spurs.
Here's Clarkson, stops, pops, jumper, good. Couple of quick hits by Clarkson.
ATT Sportsnet, the call. Jordan Clarkson, 30 off the bench.
Yeah.
126-94. The Spurs are struggling as they've now lost five in a row, Goo.
Yeah, my dad Norm would say take him around back, and you know what happens around back. So I'm hoping the Pelicans, Steiny, can catch San Antonio just so we can see Zion and Lonzo and B.I., as they call them, in a play-in game.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I guess. The big story here, Dibs, is the just flat-out firepower of the Utah Jazz. Just an abundance of scorers, abundance of players who can hurt you. Whoo, that team's got weapons, Dibs.
Yeah, no Donnie Mitch either. That's not all you want. Utah has won three straight. Your Spurs, by the way, lead the Pelicans just a game and a half. Wow. So I think I hear you knocking. I think you're coming in. I'm secretly hoping the Kings can make a mini run. Let the Spurs fade. Let's see if we can get a play-in for the play-in, Steiny.
I thought you were Team Zion, Dibs. You wanted to see him, like, must-watch TV. I do.
But I'd like to see the Kings. It'd be great if the Spurs finished 12th in the West. Old Popovich. And then we can look at Popovich's record from the moment where he blasted Atlanta. What have you done since then versus what has Atlanta done since that date? And what have you done since that date? Just a little side-by-side-by, as we like to say. Thank you.
I'll tell you, Rick Dibs, since Greg Popovich popped off.
I've never seen Steiny so happy, Goo. And I tee him up for material. Look at it. Yeah. He's going ear to ear right now.
And I'm also doing quick math. Since Greg Popovich applied for the Atlanta Hawks general manager job, they're 23-10. 23-10.
The Hawks are.
Yeah. Okay. They were 14-20. Now they're 37-30. So
I would bet the Spurs aren't 23-10 since that day.
No, I think not.
Yeah.
I think not. I don't want Sacramento anywhere near a play-in game. I don't know why. I don't like their coach.
Wow.
I don't like their personnel.
You are a hater.
No, I'm not. I don't like the way their ownership. Not really. I don't like the way he's going. I don't like the way he's going about his job at all.
Yeah.
At all.
But I know you know him from back in the day. Well, because he was Warriors minority owner, was he not?
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
I'm not saying
a lot of people forget that, Dibs. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a Warrior minority owner. Then went ahead and bought the Sacramento Kings and. Do you realize that they have not had a coach who's coached in the postseason outside of Rick Adelman?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Since they moved to Sacramento, there's only been one coach who's ever gone to the playoffs with that team, and it's Rick Adelman.
Well, I was just going to say they ran so many off. There's one in Denver doing a pretty damn good job that used to be the coach of the Kings after air, and we ain't talking baseball.
It's funny you mentioned that, Steiny, because I've been holding on to that as a possible trivia question for you and the Goo. I don't know if you have recently seen looked at the Kings coaching list, but if you haven't seen it, I'd like to play a little game with you guys if you will.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's see how this one goes. Yesterday was a disaster, and don't forget Jock Pretty today at 12:48, but Steiny mentioned it. The only coach to get this team to the postseason, or the last one rather, was a guy by the name of Rick Adelman, former Warrior coach, former Kings coach. Subsequently, they've had a number of coaches. Can you name Sacramento's coaches since Adelman, going through, but not including Luke Walton, in no particular order? Goo, you have one?
Go ahead, Steiny.
I'll start with Eric Musselman.
Eric Musselman, yes. He succeeded Adelman. He went 33-49. Goo, you got one?
Yeah.
You just referenced one.
How about Westfall?
Yeah, Paul Westfall. Yeah. Paul Westfall, 171 games, 120 losses. Steiny?
I'm going to say George Karl.
Yeah, you can put that on the board. 44-68 over a couple of portions of years. Goo?
Thanks for the tip. Jaeger. Dave Jaeger.
Yeah, Dave Jaeger.
It's actually going good.
Good run. Winning percentage of 398. That's a nice solid tenure in SAC. Steiny? These are Kings coaches since Adelman.
I'm about out of bullets on this one. Oh, Mike Malone.
Oh, yeah, 39-67. You guys are missing 1, 2, 3, 4 coaches.
Post Adelman?
Yeah. Goo, you got one?
That's my town.
I got a guess.
I'm just. Oh, go ahead, Steiny.
I think it's before him, though. Reggie Theus.
You can put Theus on the board.
Yes.
Wow.
44-62. We went from Adelman to Musselman to Theus to this guy to Westfall to another guy to Malone to another guy to Karl to Jaeger to Walton. You got three left. These are Kings coaches.
I got a Tyrone Corbin.
You're on fire.
Wow,
a 28
finish him off, Steiny. I'm out of bullets.
I don't think you're going to get
cheat,
the last
but I'm
two,
not
going to
cheat. Yeah, I'm not.
No, I'm not cheating. I think I'm. Oh, boy. You know, the other guy I was going to say was Phil Johnson, but he was clearly before Adelman.
Yeah.
Phil Johnson.
The names you're missing, one, you're going to kick yourself, but Kenny Natt. Coach 58 games.
I would have never guessed it.
11-47 in the Nat era. And Keith Smart.
Oh,
damn it.
Former Warrior coach.
Brother, too. I knew it.
Yeah. 48-93. So that just speaks to the dysfunctionality of the Kings.
Can you do the math there and figure out, you know, the number of coaches and the number of years? Because it's pretty appalling.
Yeah. Adelman's last year was 06. And then you've got 10 guys since then. So 10 coaches in basically 15 years.
Yikes. In dib voice.
Yeah, thank you. Yikes.
We're talking about ownership early. You want an owner that fires a coach every year and a half? I don't know. Anyway.
I wonder if that'll help Luke. The fact that he doesn't want to do it again. Yeah.
Good luck to Sacramento on the play-in game. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. And the segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.